This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Jason Lloyd with the Morning Boys today. You know, they're asking questions about, like, well, how much of the Deshaun decision was Kevin Stefanski? This is a great day to ask Albert all the ins and outs of every decision the Browns have made, specifically one huge decision the Browns have made about 3 years ago. As we get closer to should they or shouldn't they bring back Kevin Stefanski and their entire processes and verticals.
The problem there, Nick, is that I feel like we've gotten so far removed from this, we're never going to have a true answer. I'm dying to find out what Albert says, but it's really become a who did you ask, and then you go with the conversation from there.
So what's interesting is we played sound in quick hits of Lima completely misrepresenting, playing the worst game of telephone ever.
Yeah.
Saying that the Kansas City game was my tipping point with Stefanski and Barry, and that's actually not what I
said. You've repeatedly said all segment long it was a continuation of a Friday topic,
yeah,
basically.
For me, it was the messaging around the organization, this arrogance that Deshaun's coming back and we still believe he can be a great quarterback, mm-hmm. that Kevin and Andrew... Even though Jimmy Haslam a week ago at the NFL meeting said, I'm not going to make an emotional decision, apparently everybody just assumes Stefanski and Bear are going to be back. And Myles Garrett, in the midst of a 3-11 season, is like, I love what we're doing here. And as long as these guys are here, I want to be here. There's just a lot of arrogance with the lack of success that they've had. And if you frame it, and I don't want to frame it disingenuously. They won the playoff game in the COVID season. I want to give them the proper credit for that.
Yeah.
But it seems to me that three of your last four seasons have been duds. And this year is the biggest dud of all time. I was cool. Like, I was legitimately cool with this thing when your floor was 7 or 8 wins. Because that's an acceptable floor. San Francisco, I think they've got 6 wins now. Mm-hmm. They're likely going to get 1 win in the last 3 weeks. That 7 or 8 wins, that is an acceptable floor for a down season.
Yeah, when like the sky is falling,
yes.
That season.
3 wins. Mike Tomlin has never had a 3-win season. John Harbaugh, I think his floor was like 6-10 or 7-9, something like that. Like, those are acceptable. 3-10, now 3-11, on your way to potentially 3-14. This Bears... So much, let's dig into this and figure out why it's not working out beyond we screwed up with Deshaun. But while we're on the idea of defending Kevin Stefanski, Jason Lloyd was on with the Morning Boys earlier today and did just that, defended Kevin Stefanski.
I don't think he's lost the grip on the team. I do think this is the year from hell. It's not to excuse him. There is no excuse. Hey, you want to build a case to fire Kevin, it's out there to build. I just think that the whole thing was just sort of an avalanche that's buried him at this point. And looking back, I always felt like, man, you know, if there's one guy that I thought that may have been okay, it was Mike Pettine. And he just sort of got swallowed up in the Johnny and in the toxicity and the poison of the Browns and Berea. And if they'd have just held on, they might have had something there. That's the only coach I felt that way about. And I guess I would make that same case with Kevin of he just got swallowed up in the poison of the season. And they broke an offense that didn't need fixed.
But isn't that telling? Like, this is where, because again, Jason has every right. Jason has been in the locker room. Listen, it's just a difference of opinion here. And Jason is saying, and doing the thing, and I think Ken and Anthony did this as well. I actually am hearing people who I feel like have defended Kevin the most actually saying, yeah, there's a real case here to be made. So that is progress.
Okay.
Progress
is a proud city, as you know.
I mean, the proudest city. But like, I might be, all right, I'm done with these, I almost called them clowns. I don't want to be personal.
Yeah.
I might be done with these guys. I understand you might not be. I want to open up the avenue.
Well, I'm done with Barry. It's Stefanski I'm not done with.
For everyone to have the, but I just, how is getting swallowed up and not helping the team overcoming the avalanche, how is that not an indictment on Kevin?
No, it is.
But that's a defense of it, from the way Jason put it.
That part can exist, and I think you can also acknowledge the idea, and I think this is where I'm coming from, and I think a lot of people are coming from, is that you do see a lot of positive signs with Stefanski. We've seen a lot of positive signs with Stefanski, but I think we're worried about what could potentially happen with Stefanski if he goes to another team. I'm not concerned about Andrew Berry being a GM somewhere else and then turning into Howie Roseman. That doesn't exist. That fear doesn't exist to me. But I think if you give him the right pieces and the right tools in the right setup, I think Stefanski can be a good coach. And so I do worry about it's a Baker Mayfield conversation to the extreme is what it is. In another situation, in another place, could he be great? Yeah, I do. I think he could. The problem is that this is not this situation.
So do I think it's plausible that Kevin will get another chance? Yes. Do I know definitively that he won't work out elsewhere? No, there are tons of different dynamics at play. I think the problem is, and I hate to use their own words against him, but I really don't, because that's kind of what we do here.
Mm-hmm.
The Browns need an adult in the room. And what I mean by that is they need an adult in the room that when the avalanche starts to happen, somebody stands up against it. And if Kevin can't do that, like this season, that's what that proves. This season has rearranged what the floor for Kevin Stefanski is with the Cleveland Browns.
I just don't know that anybody could fix this. That's the problem. I think this team with the talent that's on the field right now and the situation we have, I just don't know that anybody would have been able
to. Is this worse than anything Mike Tomlin has seen in Pittsburgh?
Yes. Deshaun Watson, where you had one arm
Ben Roethlisberger, you were winning games with Duck Hodges to get to 500.
Yeah, this is worse to me. The talent across the board, yeah. They always had a good defense in Pittsburgh.
They didn't have corners. I mean, they had a pass rush, and they've had a good defensive line.
They've always had
bad O-lines. They've had a lack of skill players after Antonio left before they replenished.
And they're an eight-win team. It's not as if he was all of a sudden an 11 or 10 or 12-win team.
No. But the difference between 3 wins and 8 wins is a huge gulf. This continues to come back to, if they were 7-10, I'm not calling for Kevin to get fired. If they were 8-9, and I'll be honest with you, half the reason why I'm calling for Kevin to get fired, on top of Andrew Berry, I will agree that I think Andrew is more problematic. I just understand the fatalistic part of this. If you fire Andrew Berry, you're going to create a power dynamic here, where in a year you're going to be firing Kevin Stefanski. I'd rather do it all.
It might be the conversation we're going to have anyway.
But can I tell you?
I don't know how Stefanski gets out of this and makes himself look good in a year or 2 years from now.
I'll be honest, this is where it's not personal with Kevin. I'm more saying fire Kevin because we don't have a lot of people in town. I'm not saying you're doing this because I think you are another person who tries to be as fair as you can.
That's all.
You don't care about what happens when you go out to Berea. You don't care about the liked aspect. You don't do some phony baloney thing to not do your job, like I'll never call for a coach to be fired. Mm-hmm. You actually espouse an opinion and you stick to it. We just disagree on it. That's fine to me.
Yeah.
That is respectable to me. We just have a difference of opinion. But there's just not a lot of people who actually have the cojones to say what is painfully obvious. If I had said at the beginning of the year, you're going to go 3-11 and you're very likely going to go 3-14, what's the end result? You would say
most people,
everyone's getting fired.
And if I were to give an arrow into the or a quiver into the discussion there, and like pack people with an arsenal, let's put it that way. I think a lot of people. I mean, how I was the one in the all off season being like, you can't go 5 years with one playoff win and expect to keep your job. That's just not a thing you get to do in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love the idea of just being like Stefanski's gone because everything else around him seems so miserable, and we just get to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I personally don't love that, but I also can't sit here and say, yeah, Stefanski needs to be the coach until the end of time. But I do think about what would happen if he ends up in a different situation. And I know he's the type of coach that if he has the right situation, this is not it. If he has the right situation, he can be a good head coach and he would win a lot of games.
How is that different from most? Because see, here's the thing. I do want a head coach that when you have the right talent.
I'm going to answer the question. I think some coaches are in really, really good situations and they end up looking really good because of it. I think Dan Campbell is one of those coaches.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dan Campbell in the previous week, he's won 11 out of his last 12 games. He was on an 11-game winning streak up until this last week. And the reason why the conversation this week is, I don't know about that Dan Campbell guy, is because in back-to-back weeks, he has put his team in a spot where he's blatantly said, I don't trust the defense, including kicking an onside kick down 10 with 12 minutes left to go, to then not kick an onside kick down 10, 8 minutes left to go in the game. Maddeningly inconsistent, and you can see where he holds his team back in certain spots, even if they're winning games.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Dan Campbell took Jared Goff and took, what did they start? Didn't they start something like 3-20?
Well, you know me. I think Ben Johnson is the real reason behind all that success.
But my point is, they took a franchise that was in the ashes of Matt Stafford. They took Jared Goff, who is damaged goods, and they've got three straight winning seasons, and they're probably going to be
right.
The one or two seed this year.
But the point is that you can be on a really good team, and you can be a head coach on a really good team, and you still get criticized the same way.
But he didn't walk into a good situation. So with Kevin, I think we underrate the situation Kevin walked into. You walked into Miles. You walked into Denzel. You walked into Baker. And I know we all have takes on Baker. Baker, he walked into Cleveland with a better quarterback than any quarterback since 1999 had. That should account for our analysis of Kevin. And here's the thing. I still see good in Kevin. I'm not just unequivocally, he's not a good coach. But like this narrative that is formed here in recent weeks, and it tells me that there's just some people have blinders on with Kevin. Maybe it's a personal affinity. Maybe it's a working relationship. I'm not, again, saying you.
Yeah, but I just don't see it that way.
But I know you don't. But here's the thing. Whatever this narrative is, well, you know, Kevin just got swallowed up by the negativity in Berea. These are the same people who said it's not your same old Brown 6 months ago. So did it get negative? Did the negativity show up this year? Like this idea that the Browns have just been a dysfunctional organization, the only thing keeping them above water is Kevin Stefanski. What do we have
to show for that? They're not above water. They're not above water.
But I think that is the narrative. People, instead of just going to, all right, one playoff win, two playoff trips, three out of four losing seasons, with this being by far your worst season, they don't have a rebuttal to that. So the rebuttal is, well, but you, if Kevin wasn't here, boy, it would look... No, I don't buy that. Like that again, you can't... Listen, I'm okay if your answer is Kevin Stefanski doesn't deserve to be fired. I really am. And I'm... By the way, convert me. I'm not so anti-Kevin.
Well, you know better than anyone. It's really hard in a three-win season to be like, I'm gonna hit you with all sorts of facts and all sorts of numbers that'll convert you. If you didn't like him before 3-14, you're not going to like him after 3-14.
But again, I'm saying convert me. But don't make up narratives. I'm not saying you're doing this.
I know what you're saying. Well, but thank you for clarifying.
So people can hear that.
Yeah,
so that they understand I'm not... But we don't have to make up... Like, if we're going to do this, if you're going through the pain of 3-11... Let's get real honest. And the problem is, I have no doubt that there's some honesty behind closed doors in Berea. Because
mm-hmm.
there has to be. For these guys to have survived 5 years, there has to be some level of honesty and the ability to go, whoops. Like, you have to. There's no way. If there was a lack of accountability across the board, it'd be Hugh Jackson 2.0. So I don't think that's the case. But they're not accountable outwardly and never have been, never will be with this group. It's all, here, pay attention to this. Hey, we're going to bench Jameis because we don't want to talk about this. Hey, we're gonna trade Baker because that's going to get away from the lack of management on the OBJ Baker situation. There's always some diversionary game going on.
Right.
But if we're going to do this again, I don't want to do this again. All right? I don't want to look at this and go, you had enough talent at the start of the season to compete. This whole thing fell apart, and nobody wants to be honest about it. If we're going to go through this, the point of going through this
is... I don't know that you had enough talent at the beginning.
Well,
I really don't.
But I think that's a tonal change from what we said 3 months ago. But real quick.
We got new information.
But if you're going to do this, if you're going to make me go through 3-11, show me you actually learned something. Show me that you can take self-scouting. You can self-evaluate, and you get better. Because right now, it's like dodgeball.
Nick, dodge. Nick, the bottom fell out in a way that I don't think anybody expected. That's the reality of it. No one expected Deshaun to be what Deshaun was, and the injury attached to it all. And don't shake your head like that.
But you don't plan for
like,
it.
It's not like well, that.
You don't convince.
They put all their
conceive?
Eggs into that basket. And you want to punish them for that? Sure, you can do that.
But
they were convinced.
You don't conceive failure. That's the problem.
They were convinced this was a Super Bowl roster.
They're
I told you that week five into the season, they were convinced of that. I heard behind the scenes.
They're so convinced in their processes. They don't plan for if it doesn't go right.
Not
That's
some
stupid.
Magic,
That's objectively
in the middle,
dumb.
In the middle of the season after the injury, there's not some magic button they could have pushed to all of a sudden have them swerve into being competitive.
No, you don't.
That
you
didn't
don't,
exist.
You don't push that button.
It doesn't exist in the NFL.
You don't push that button in October. Do you
know
when
you do
it? Your
starting quarterback goes down. You are up a creek. You're done. That's how the NFL operates all the time.
But do you know? We can't say that and then give them credit for last year then.
It's how it works. That was a complete anomaly. You know that.
Real quick, let's run it back here. Because what you're just saying there, you don't do that in October. The button that you plan in case of emergency, you plan that in March. And that button that
what
you
button?
Pushed,
they got the best backup quarterback in the game to supplement Deshaun Watson. There's not like there's a million quarterbacks that are out
isn't
there.
The best backup.
Jameis entering the season was the best backup quarterback
to
the game had to offer.
To whom?
What do you mean? To whom?
Could you have drafted a quarterback in the last 2 years, by the way, that wasn't DTR, that wasn't a fifth-round pick?
They drafted DTR.
Okay,
they
but
did
could
that.
You not have spent a higher pick this last offseason?
Who were you going to take? Second round? Third round?
Well,
what,
no,
you're
no,
waste
my
one
point
of the
is,
few draft picks
done,
you have? They don't have first-round picks. They needed second and third-round picks to actually supplement the roster.
Could you have done other things? Could you have foreseen that this wasn't
going to... What quarterback would you have wanted them to have as a backup plan?
Real quick. Could you have done other things than exactly what you did this
Name
year?
Name me the backup you would have gotten. Jameis was the best backup quarterback you could have had on this roster.
We'll do that.
Especially when you're already paying $70 million to Deshaun Watson.
216-474-0092. I'll go ahead and find the quarterback you could have drafted at any point. Because again, you could have had forethought with Baker. If you were so hard-pressed on the timeline and the rebuild, you could have had more forethought than that last year and how that rolled out. Could have drafted a quarterback before then if you didn't like Baker. There are points at every single turn that they could have done something different, and they didn't. That doesn't mean it's all on Kevin. It doesn't mean it's all on Andrew Berry. It doesn't mean it's all on the Haslam. It's all on all of them.
I mean,
they took a risk,
Nick. It didn't work, and I think you wanted them to pivot and be awesome, and it's not possible in today's NFL.
They took a risk three times, and they failed 66% of the time, and then went, who could have seen this failing?
Yeah, their risks have obviously blown up
logic.
In epic proportion to them.
Logic.
Not logic. There was there was nothing they could have done preseason to be like, okay, outside of having the
Tomlin.
Best backup quarterback and the best. What do you mean explain Tomlin?
Explain Tomlin.
Explain
they
one of the greatest coaches. By the way, who hasn't won a playoff game since 2016, but is just doing everything in his power to get 8 or 9 wins a season?
Yes. Yes, that actually is. When you don't have the talent to be a championship team and you will a team to 9 wins every
Great.
Year,
I don't want
that's
that
a better
existence
coaching
anyway.
Job than you only
I
can
don't
do
want
it
that
when
existence
you have everything
anyway.
Going your way.
They went for boom or bust. They went for it all.
I almost spilled coffee all over myself.
That would have been bad.
216-474-0092. Is Stefanski worth defending? We'll get to you guys. We'll do biggest gripe and biggest defense next on 92.3 The Fan.